Welcome to the Contact Center Experts Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
Okay, well, welcome everyone. And our studio audience is so enthusiastic to have our guests today. Wow, they're whistling. Oh, my gosh. Wish I could do that. I'd love to practice that. But all right, everybody, calm down. I know you're very excited. Okay, well, welcome today to our guest, Brian Flagg. And I want to just tell you a little bit about Brian. Brian has been a leader in the service and support contact center industry for over 20 years. He's worked with IBM, Target, Texas.gov, and Medtronic. He's a speaker, writer, and author of the book Contact Center Excellence, available on Amazon, and offers consulting services as Flagg and Associates. You can also reach out to Brian at contactcenterexcellence.webs.com. And today's topic is something I bet nobody else covers in a podcast show like this, but we're going to talk about maturity models and how contact centers and IT departments and the operations side of the business can really benefit from using maturity models. So I'm going to let Brian, I'm going to have you define, because you're going to do a much better job of it than I could, what a maturity model is.
Yeah, absolutely, Nancy. And thank you for having me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to share some information. You know, this is one topic from my book where I kind of go off on some not your usual topics you'd find in a call center or a contact center book. Talk about statistical process control, maturity models, and other things that are frequently not discussed in the literature or on shows like this. So I'm glad to be able to do that today and maybe spark some interest in the
topic.
So people, practitioners can go and find out for themselves what maturity models are all about and how they might use them in their own operation to improve. You know, do a Google search or a search, internet search for call center assessment tools, call center audits, you'll find just, or call center maturity models, and you'll find just numerous examples of assessments, right? Interactive Intelligence has an assessment. There's a Baldrige assessment. HDI has an assessment. ICMI has an assessment and a model. And a maturity model is, they're all the same, basically. There's a number of levels of maturity, and starting from level one or level zero, some go to level four, some go to level five, some go above that. And they look at maturity across a number of categories or dimensions. For example, the HDI maturity model looks at maturity across people, process, technology, and vision. The Interactive Intelligence maturity model looks at four categories, from leadership and strategy, enabling technologies, aligned and skilled employees, and supporting processes and business intelligence. The Baldrige assessment, which I don't think there's been a lot of, certainly I've never seen another call center do a Baldrige internal assessment. I've used them in a couple of instances and found them just very useful. Baldrige has seven categories, from measurements and analysis, leadership, strategy, customers, workforce, operations and resources, and results. Probably one of the most important categories is results. And so I've just seen so many of these maturity models, and I'm not sure we need another maturity model. I sketch one out in my book, but I'm not certainly not married to it. I think the HDI model was built off of that. But one thing I haven't seen, and I wrote about this, seven, eight years ago, and I still have not seen a notion of value associated with each of those maturity levels.
Right. Right.
For example, I can go and do a CMM, Capability Maturity Model assessment, which came out of the Software Engineering Institute way
right.
back in 1997. And simple tool, I really like it. But I can go and do an assessment and come out and find that, well, I'm a level one. And how do I get to level two? So there's some guidance there, usually in a maturity model, and how you get from one level to the next. But what's lacking is, so what's the value to my organization for being at that level? And so I can look, so that I can look across levels and say, the value from getting from a level two, for example, to a level three mm-hmm. is X. Because, you can't do that for free. You can't
right.
make change, make investments, change out your tools, your processes, bring up your leadership and make your leadership more mature for free. There's always some sort of investment required to do that. And without the notion of value, you don't know
mm-hmm.
if that's an investment that should be made or not.
Right.
Right. So
now, do you have an example where you proposed adding the value equation to somebody's maturity model, and were they surprised at the results? Or
I included the value statement, or the value stripe, if you will, in
mm-hmm.
the maturity model that I put in my book.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit different. There, we can have a kind of a boilerplate value statement for each of the maturity levels, but
mm-hmm.
it's going to vary by company and organization. So it's really up to the organization
sure.
to take that value statement as a starting point. And so, for our specific organization, here's our value for being at that level of maturity. And quite often, just going further on maturity models
mm-hmm.
in general, because I've used them many times, and I've seen in my days of consulting and seeing what other call centers, what other contact centers are doing, I've found some problems where sometimes where it didn't work, where somebody was
okay.
trying to move, an organization was trying to move from a level two to a level three, and it didn't work. And did some root cause analysis and really found out that across all of the dimensions, people, process, technology, leadership, they were all over the board in terms of their maturity. For example, if your leadership is at maturity level one, your processes are at a level one, and you're trying to move technology from a level one to a three or a level two to a three,
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
just not going to be successful. You have
right.
to kind of have all of those, what they call capabilities or categories or dimensions, pretty much at the same level and move from one level to the next. So you're moving from level
mm-hmm.
two to level three, or level three to level four. You're not attempting to move from level three to level five.
Right.
I've seen so much focus in the call center on technology, bringing in new technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do that a lot of those just fail. Why do they fail? It's not because the technology's bad. Or the technology doesn't work. It's just that the organization wasn't ready for it. Right? You put better technology.
Or a lot of times it's the shiny new object that some executive read about and we've got to put in place.
Right. Right. Yeah. If it's helpful or not. Right.
Yes.
So I think you've really got to look, if you're going to use a maturity model, you're going to use an assessment tool, pick one that you like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
look them all over, pick one that you like, and then try as best you can to add the value component to each of those levels. And go through the assessment, find out which level you're at, and then make sure you're not kind of all over the board. In other words, one dimension, you're level one, and in another dimension you're a level 3, and then you're trying to move everything to a level 4. It's just not going to be good for you.
Now, when you put the value in there, do you weight it? Do you weight it? Like, let's say in the different categories within that, you know, let's say everybody's at a level 1 and you want to move to level 2, but then you put the value associated to that to, let's say, technology versus personnel versus systems and things like that. Do you decide, okay, the weight, like, this is going to cost X dollars, this is going to cost X dollars and X dollars, and then you decide, you prioritize based upon which ones you can afford at that time?
That's certainly kind of the follow-on approach, if you will. So
okay,
what I mean by that is once I've made the decision that from a value to the organization, value to the company, it makes sense for me to move from a level 3 to a level 4 maturity.
Okay.
Now I've got to look at, so how do I do that, right? There may be some training I need to bring in-house. There may be some technology projects. There may be maybe process work that I need to do. There may be other actions I need to take. I need to bring in new leadership, for example, that's focused on what I need to be focused on. And so kind of look at, I've made the decision to move to this level of maturity. Now, how do I get there? And I'm going to divide that up into a number of initiatives or projects or programs. And each of those initiatives, projects, or programs, then you have to do the business case work, right? And then you prioritize within, you know, based on how much resources, how much money you have to spend, right? And that will, but it's really important first to say, you know, I'm targeting this level of maturity and here's why, and here's how we're going to get there.
Okay. Great. So, so the places that you've had experience in it, Target or IBM or Medtronic, can you share an example of from either those experiences where you've implemented the maturity model and what the result was, or even you can just say client X, we did it to protect the innocent.
Sure. Well, I'll talk about Target because I said that, you know, I've never seen Baldrige assessment used before in a contact center. It just so happens that I had 7 direct reports. I was leading the client support center for Target. It was their, if you will, their service desk. And it was a large service desk, 110 people. And I had 7 direct reports, which worked out great because there were 7 Baldrige categories.
there you go.
And so I said, you know, I did it years ago in IBM, an internal Baldrige assessment. And if you've never looked at it, it's really interesting to go look at the Baldrige assessment because it doesn't just ask questions. It's not really an assessment tool that says, well, how well am I doing this today? You know, do I do this? It's kind of a binary, or how well do I do it? It really gets under the how do I do this? And it's very process-based, but really you learn so much about the organization by going through those 7 categories of Baldrige. If you answer all of the questions, or all the points, you get a wealth of knowledge. So what I did was I assigned each of my direct reports a category. And so I stretched people a little bit, measurements and analysis category. I didn't give to my reporting manager. I gave that to someone else and gave my reporting manager a different category. And not 100% of what we're looking at pertain to our particular business, but that's okay. We looked at what was applicable, and much of it was. And we learned, I had everyone come back periodically. We did this over a course of a 3-month period, and everybody came back every couple weeks and just reported on what they were learning about the organization and how the organization functions, you know, really at the ground level. And we learned so much by doing that, not only so much about how we were doing work today, but so what does it mean to be doing work differently, doing work better, right?
Right.
And we generated just a lot of areas for improvement. Those drove, again, projects. We prioritized the projects. And that really, again, if nothing else, it just gave all of the leadership team just a crystal clear vision of what the entire organization does.
That's amazing. Yeah. And was there any other vehicle in place for them to even have that experience?
Not really.
Yeah.
Again, you know, that's what I liked about doing that deep of an assessment, that deep of a dive. You know, in a contact center, you've got, you can certainly get siloed, right? You've got your, your traffic desk or your real-time management function, forecasting, scheduling, training, knowledge management, you know, reporting and analytics, and you could start to get siloed. And so, you know, the people in reporting and analytics are reporting on things they really don't understand what's happening at ground level. And that, so they're always going back and trying to do root cause and asking questions. They really don't have the right context to be doing that.
Yeah.
This exercise just gave everyone the understanding of how that work, how the organization works in total.
So a very macro perspective then.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, actually I had worked with a previous, I had a previous company sold it, and when I worked for them, they actually had a, what was it called? I forget what it was called, but it was basically allowing each department manager to kind of constantly assess on a quarterly basis, assess what was going on within their department. But as part of that, they would, and then we would share with each other, you know, once a quarter, kind of these things of how they all interconnected with each other. But, you know, so I think what you're doing is, I think, really great, because if I had had the opportunity to kind of step outside my box and use kind of the same tools and templates but assess somebody else's, not only am I getting exposure to a different part of the organization, but that department's getting a different perspective or different lens looking at it in a different way too.
Absolutely. So I think pretty much any of the assessment tools or maturity model tools that you choose will, by and large, do that for you. You know, I think it's just choose one. There are some that are industry specific. The CMMI Institute has a number of very industry specific maturity models.
Okay.
They're pretty detailed and pretty involved. So I tend to gravitate towards models, towards frameworks, towards tools, if you will, that are somewhat simple, not too simple that they don't really, you know, it's such a blunt instrument that it doesn't really give you any insight. But
sure,
I think you can get too complex and too wrapped up in some of these tools, and you know, you get done with this huge exercise and wonder, so what have I accomplished? Where am I?
Right. What's the average kind of timeline that, you know, somebody would need to invest to kind of implement a maturity model?
Well, I think there's the upfront work, again, of finding the right model. HDI, you know, previously the Help Desk Institute, they've got a very good maturity model that's for help desks and service desks and IT organizations. The FCI, which is a Software Engineering Institute, first came out with CMM, or the Capability Maturity Model, that was really geared towards software engineering, but it has very wide applicability. I happen to like that because it's rather simple. It's not, it doesn't drive you down into 18 categories and 15, you know, things to look at per category. It's relatively straightforward, relatively simple. It's something that you could take and tailor it a little bit for your organization. So, you know, choose the tool, and then I guess the next thing I would do is to go ahead and do the assessment. Where am I? Because if it's a five-level model and I do the assessment and I'm on level four, I really don't care about the value statements for levels one, two, and three. I don't have to do that work, right? I just have to look at the value of where I am and the value of level five, and then do the assessment. Do I need to be at level five as an organization? So that's kind of the steps I would go through. Mm-hmm. The size of the organization, the complexity of the organization will drive how long that takes. For the Baldrige exercise that we did, it took 3 months. That was fairly aggressive. I've seen those take much longer for large, very complex organizations. The CMM, the capability maturity model from SEI, that can be done relatively quickly. Again, it depends on how much focus you put on it. You know, a couple of months is I think within the realm of possibility if you put the right focus on it.
Okay. Now, if I'm at, say, I'm at a level five, is that call center just, or is the organization in general, is it a top performing organization and it would be recognized as such because they're at that level five, or they're just matured because they're at level five? That doesn't mean they're necessarily a well-oiled machine.
Well, typically, if you're at level five and can truthfully answer all the questions that you're at a level five, then I mean, you're really a world-class organization. And, you know, go out and start competing for call center awards, because you certainly certainly deserve it if you're at a level five.
Have you, I mean, have you worked with some that are at a level five?
You know, I had a sentence in my book, but this is from the first first version of the book, which was 2012. So it's, you know, 7 years ago. I made the statement at that point that I had never seen a call center organization operating at a level five, which is, you know, innovative, hitting on all cylinders, strategic, you know, all the right technology in place, all the right people in place, the right leadership in place. The for every one of for level five across every one of those categories to all converge on one point is rare. And I think there are certainly some organizations out there that may be there today. I have not, in my set of observations is limited, but, you know, so I'm sure there are out there. I haven't seen one that is operating across all dimensions in a level five.
Yeah, I was out at Allstate Insurance here in Chicago, and they had mentioned that, because I was just asking, you know, in general, who do you think has a good operation? And they mentioned USAA Insurance. So I don't know if they're at level five or if they even use maturity models, but for whatever reason, she didn't bat an eye and she said USA Insurance. So they must be doing something right to capture her attention.
They must be.
Yeah.
I'll have to take a look at them.
Yeah. But, you know, and so that's kind of the goal, I guess. So once, you know, if you get to that level, you've got to maintain that level. So is there something that you do to kind of do a checks and balances to make sure you stay at that level?
You know, Nancy, that is a great question, because I think some organizations go through this period of, you know, trying to get to the level they want to be at, and then just kind of think, well, okay, we can coast now, right?
That's absolutely
so far from the truth. You got to work at being, unless you're level one, which is just haphazard, things happen as they would, you know, and you've really got no process, no leadership's poor, et cetera. Well, they're not going to be there long. They're going to go out of business.
Right.
But, you know, you get into level three, level four, some of the upper levels of maturity, and you can't stand still. It's a constantly moving target. So you've got to reassess periodically, whether that's every year, every 18 months, and say, hey, are we still at level four? Are we still innovating? You know, are we still engaging our employees the way we are, should be engaging our employees? You know, are our training program still up to snuff? Our knowledge management. Hey, there's this new stuff called AI. What does that play? What part does that play? Right. In our technology, in our processes, in our knowledge capture, et cetera. So, yeah, absolutely can't stand still.
Yeah, I was at I was at a PACE conference earlier this year, and a guy from Amazon was one of the keynote speakers. And I forget exactly what he said, but there were two sentences that – so each department comes up with their own kind of mantra, I think he called it. And every single meeting, everything they did – they would always say, does this support our mantra? You know, so maybe that's kind of a way to, once you get to a certain level or once you've established the you know, the criteria for maintaining this level of performance, you always question and hold it up against that that mantra or that checklist or whatever it is. And they said, yeah, we've basically, you know, we'll quit a project. You know, we might be in the middle of the project and say, hey, wait a minute, does this support the mantra or whatever he was calling, I forget exactly. And they're like, nope, it doesn't. So then why are we doing this? decisions on not only what to do, but what to stop doing.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So for my last question here, if somebody were to read your book, what would they walk away knowing more about?
I think they would walk away with a better appreciation for the complexity that's really inherent in the contact center. My book's not a call center for dummies kind of thing where you can read it cover to cover and I'm at the end of the book and I've learned more about call centers. It absolutely is not that. There's a, you know, a section on strategy. There's a section on hiring pipeline. There's a section on, you know, using statistical process control. Total quality management. So they're really, each chapter, if you will, can almost stand on its own. And overall, there's a cohesive set of structure there. It's all driven from leadership, which is that you know, and strategy, which is, you know, that's why that's the first chapter. I'm a proponent of the balanced scorecard and. You know, the four dimensions of strategy maps. I love strategy maps as a way to define strategy, as a way to communicate strategy. I think the assessment has to flow, you know, exactly from that. Once your strategy is set, then, you know, you need to start to work on improving, right? Your maturity needs to be part of your continuous improvement program. And so it really all is connected.
Well, it sounds like it should be the guidebook for any contact center executive.
You know, I think so. But I'm biased.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, you heard it here, folks. If you're listening to this and you're a contact center executive or want to be an executive, that would be a good, you know, guidebook for you. It sounds like it's a perfect kind of instruction guide at a high level to drive results out of the contact center. Basically, from what you're telling me, I haven't had a chance to read it just yet, but I certainly will be next on my summer reading list.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you being on the call today, and our audience just can't get enough. You know, they're going to walk away, you know, chanting maturity model. So thank you very much, and you know, hopefully we'll have you on again sometime in the future.
All right. Well, thanks to you, Nancy, and you know, thanks for all the podcast listeners.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye now.